freedom is established by cooperation. Amen? Where there's no cooperation with the Spirit, there can't be freedom. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Nowhere else. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care who you know. You better know Jesus. I don't care where you've been, what you've done, or what your plans are. Only freedom comes by cooperation with the Spirit. The Bible tells us He leads us and guides us to all truth. Amen? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Wow. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Listen, no one said maintaining a walk that's pleasing God is easy. It's difficult. Why is it difficult? Because evil presence of wickedness will do anything and everything they can to resist you and cause you to drift, sway, or rebel against His word. Rebelling, drifting, and swaying against His word is called lawlessness. It's called what? Lawlessness. Why? Because His word is law. Amen. Whatever He speaks is law. That's it. And it says here that it's difficult. And there are few who find it. There's going to be a lot of people who thought they made it home and didn't. There's going to be many people left behind. Thought they were going to be taken into rapture. And they're not. In verse 15. It says, beware of false prophets or false teachers, preachers, or media, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves, claim themselves to be Christians. You will know them by their fruits. Those fruits are called desires. What's their desire? Is it more selfishness, me, myself, and I? Is the desire of the world, desire to still get high, desires, all of these desires. That's how you'll know them by their fruit, who they are. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree, which means spirit, bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit, bad desires. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, but nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is what? Cut off and thrown into the what? Fire. In other words, hell. Therefore, by their fruits you will know who they are. By their desires. Amen. Again, no one said it was going to be easy. But the Holy Spirit guides us and protects us. He makes it easier. Why? Because He's the one we cooperate. If you're cooperating with the Holy Spirit, you got nothing to worry about. You'll have peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. You'll be full of joy. Why? Because you'll be filled with the Spirit of God. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And in His presence is fullness, is joy, right? Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that He may be revealed in His own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. In other words, rebellion, disobedient to God's word. Only He, God, who now restrains, will do so until He, the Holy Spirit, is taken out of the way. Now, the only thing that's restraining evil on the earth is the body of Christ. Once we are removed, all hell is going to break out. Amen? It says here, verse 8, then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will eventually consume with the breath of His mouth and destroy with the brightness of His coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of who? Satan. He's known as the prince of power of air that's still influencing people. With all power, signs, and lying wonders. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness or lawlessness. There will be a point in time where there will be a no return. God will say, that's enough. I've heard your complaining. I've heard your repentance, but you keep turning back, 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 and back. I'm done. Oh, God's love. Yes, he's love, but he's also just. There is a limitation on how much you can play with God. Amen? There's a limitation to that. And it tells you right here. Why? Because they did not love the truth. They still played the games of the worldliness. Lawlessness is one of Satan's and his demons as their servants. It's how they utilize. They utilize unrighteous deception. They promote lawlessness. They try to cause us to disconnect from the presence of God into a self-fulfilling agenda. They try to disconnect us from the will of God and the presence of God into a self-fulfilling agenda. Go to Genesis chapter 3. In verse 1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, who was the serpent? Satan. Yeah. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? See, one of the things that when you know it's the enemy, is he's always challenging what God has asked you to do. That demon is there. He'll challenge to bring us into a place of rebellion or resistance towards the truth. That demon is there. And a woman had said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. She shouldn't have been talking to him from the beginning. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, or partake of it, or what it says to you, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. He called God a liar. See, when you rebel against God, you call him a liar. And the Bible says, no liar will enter the kingdom of God. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open. Did the serpent lie? Yeah, because their eyes were shut when they partook of it. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, they already were like God. They were created in his image and likeness. They were eternal beings. They had an eternal calling. This is what the enemy's after. He wants to break that covenant of eternal calling. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was good, pleasant to the eye, and tree desirable to make one wise, which is lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, she took of its fruit and ate and partook. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Now, the eyes of both of them were actually opened, but they were actually closed. They were closed to the spirit realm, amen, and they're open to the physical realm. They no longer could see the serpent. They no longer could talk to him face to face. They no longer could talk to God face to face. They had blinders on their eyes, scales and veils. And they knew that they were naked. In other words, something happened. A self awareness. The self, the birth of self just happened. They knew that they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. In other words, they tried to cover up themselves. That was the first time they became aware of self. It was the birth of self. Now, the birth of self is now we call the offspring of darkness. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Why? Because they couldn't see him no more. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. They heard God, but they couldn't see him, and they booked. Where are we going? See, they lost sight that God knows all and sees all. They lost that eternal character. They were now involved in self, me, myself, and I. They were put in a, not only were they awakened to a self-awareness, but they were now in survivor mode. And they hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam like he didn't know where he was. Hello. And he said, where are you? I think this is funny. And Adam said, I heard your voice, because he couldn't see him no more in the garden. And I was what? Afraid. Because I was naked and I hid myself. And the Lord said to him, who told you that you were naked? Have you taken from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? Now, again, self-awareness was birth. Self was birth. Fear was now a part of their life. They never knew what fear was. Now, watch the next thing that happens. It's like an addictive behavior. And then the man, Adam, said, the woman whom you gave with me, she gave to me of the tree and I ate. In other words, he was blaming the woman. And then the woman blamed the serpent. And the blame continues to this day. Self-awareness, birth of self, deception and fear and blame, and survival mode was established in birth. They were blinded, they were taken captive, they were imprisoned, and they were slaves to now darkness, living a life of lawlessness, of lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. And that continues on to this day, until you are born of the Spirit. Until you're what? Born of the Spirit. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. Let no one deceive you. Let no one deceive you. Who is the deceiver? Amen. Powers and presence of darkness. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the what? The devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Let me share something with you, because there's what we call the born again place and position. It's born of the Spirit. You can be saved and not born again. What do you mean you can be saved and not? Right. You can be saved and not born again. See, born again is all, happens when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. You are saved when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord. You can't even accept him as Lord. You try to. He's actually your Savior. Because when he's your Lord, you're a servant to him. And that can only be established when you are baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Other than that, you still got one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. That means the world will take you. Amen? Remember, the devil owns the fence. Jesus came to destroy the works of the influence of the devil by exposing his works from the unseen realm. Those born of the eternal Spirit and walk in the Spirit will not allow the presence of evil to influence them, but will expose them and expel them. Does everybody get it? When you are born in the Spirit, truly walking in the Spirit, you sense these things, you know these things, you see these things. You will not allow them to influence you. Doesn't mean you won't hear them. Doesn't mean you won't be tempted. Doesn't mean you won't have goofy thoughts. But you won't allow it to happen. You'll say no. It's on every bumper sticker. Just say no, right? I used to hate those things when I was an addict. Just say no. I wanted to run in the back of that car. But now you are born of the Spirit, it's different. You have power. You have an eternal calling to fulfill. You expose them and you remove them. And they must submit to the name of Jesus if you're walking right. But they won't submit if you're not walking right. Acts chapter 1, in verse 4. After Jesus' resurrection, he hung out for 40 days. And he was with them, and he assembled together with them. And he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." He commanded them, don't go telling nobody about me. Till you are baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you'll bring shame to my name. Just a matter of time. He explained that there was two baptisms, baptism of water and a baptism of the Spirit. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" He wasn't there to restore the kingdom of Israel yet. It wasn't time. And he said to them, "It is not time for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." To receive power in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to overcome evil influence, to deny your selfish ambitions, and to be born of the eternal Spirit with an eternal calling, purpose, and destiny. All this in a temporary realm or temporary reality. Hallelujah. We have an eternal calling. Say, "I have an eternal calling." Now we are called to what? Battle. Our purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. And our destiny is to infiltrate the world system and rescue as many souls as possible, building platforms and pathways for his glory. You know, if Jesus showed up face to face to you and asked you to do something, after you got off your face, because you probably pass right out, and he said, "I need you to do something," you're not going to tell him you don't feel like it. You're not going to tell him you're too busy. You'd have to be an idiot. You're not going to tell them, "Well, your family needs you." You're not going to tell them any of these things. You're going to say, "Yo, yes, what are you on? What can I do for you, Lord?" Now he's your Lord. See, if you got an excuse to obey, he's only your Savior. He ain't your Lord yet. And if you stay in that condition for a period of time, he won't be your Savior. Acts 9, verse 10. "Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' So the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas, for there is one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying.'" Why was he praying? Because the Lord gave him a visitation, slapped him off his horse, blinded him, freaked him out. "And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias said, 'Lord, I've heard many things about this dude, how much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name, men, women, and children.' The Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine.'" Think about that. God chose you. Now this man killed Christians, children. Christians. He thought he was doing the will of God. Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine. In other words, the Lord's saying he's got an eternal calling. Do you have an eternal calling? Have you accepted the call yet? Make sure your phone's not busy. But the Lord said, go to him, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him many things he must suffer for my name's sake. In other words, you're going to have to go through stuff. Why? Because the walk is difficult. Chosen vessel, eternal calling, eternal power in the eternal presence of God, called the anointing. To see spiritually, hear spiritually, and interpret the things of God as a warrior of the Lord's task force to combat evil forces. That's what he was chosen for. Verse 17, and Ananias went in his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the what? Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. And so when they had received food, he was strengthened, and Saul spent days with the disciples at Damascus. Are we willing to do whatever it takes? Are we willing to deny ourselves? Are we willing to deny our emotions and desires and the woes as measies and grow up and become warriors? Romans 8:28. And we know all things work together for good to those who what? Love God. To those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also what? He glorified. You have a call to battle. Your purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. You have a destiny to infiltrate the world system. Rescue souls. Infiltrate. And bring glory to the name of God. But there's something you must maintain, staying filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit. You must maintain the word. You must be consistent. You must be disciplined. No longer living out of the soul or out of the mind, but out of the spirit. That's what's walking in the spirit. When you begin to walk in the spirit, you're not living out of the soul or out of the mind. You're walking and living and making choices out of the spirit of God. That means there's something very powerful. You are living from the future to the present. Not from the present to yourself. Not from your past to yourself. Remember, the devil can only attack you from your past because he's got no future. But you do. That makes you eternal. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 9. But you are a what? You are what? A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. I didn't say you might feel like one yet. See, this is where identity begins to birth. Who you are. It's your birthing has come by your speaking. Because what you speak is what you eat. The more light you speak, the more light you eat. The more you change, the more demons run from you. Amen? Again, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. A priest is one who ministers to the Lord. That's why those words are up there, so we can sing and praise and worship the Lord, because we're ministering to him. You can never become a warrior until you fulfill your priesthood. But you are a chosen priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises, that means singing, of him who called you out of darkness into his what? Marvelous light. He called us out of darkness into his light. Who once were not a people, but are now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have what? Obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they have observed, glorify God in the day of visitation. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a royal family. We are of the light and of the truth. We are living an eternal and fulfilling an eternal call, a purpose for his glory. Eternal call. Eternal. James 1:21. Therefore what? Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word. In other words, obedient to the word. Practicers of the word. And not just hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word and of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If any among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows their troubles. Here's the important thing. To keep yourself unspotted from the world. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. In other words, God's word is called law. When we're not practicing his word and submitting to his word, we are lawless. Amen? We're practicing lawlessness now. And that will shut the door to eternity. That will shut the door to his presence. That will shut the door to blessings. That will shut the door to favor. Matthew 24, verse 3. Now, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when these things will be, and when will be the sign of your coming and the end of this age, which is known as the end of grace. That means God's plan for the rescue of humanity. And Jesus answered and said to him, take heed that no one deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Is that happening now? Yeah. More than ever. There's more earthquakes. There's more floods. There's more dams breaking. There's all kinds of stuff. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. Is that happening? Amen. That means racial things also, because the enemy is trying to promote racial conflicts. All these things are called the beginning of sorrows. We're almost done with this part. Then they will deliver. They will deliver you up to tribulation, which will be 3.5 years. They will attempt to kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, because lawlessness will abound. It will grow, will multiply, and the love of money will grow. I mean, the love of many will grow. Sorry, will grow cold. The love of many will grow cold, and the love of money will increase. But he who endures to the end will be what? Saved. I'm going to say that again because it's vitally important. Lawlessness will abound more and more. In other words, it's going to decrease. And the love of many will grow cold. And the love of money will increase more and more and more because people will become desperate. Wow. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Again, lawlessness will increase, love of many will grow cold, but the love of money will increase as desperation unfolds. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 8. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money. So we have a Babylonian system that controls humanity by money, because they love money. Amen? The United States prints money like it's candy, with no backing, no value, because they love money. But the world is finally waking up to the Babylonian system and the harlot. It says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Wow. Many sorrows. The love of money, the root of all evil, the Babylonian system. That's what we're in. This is where the takedown is going to come. This is where God is getting ready to take down. Because so many people have been sucked into the love of money. There's nothing wrong with money. But when you live for money instead of living for God, it's a different thing. When you're willing to harm other people for your own gain, it's another thing. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments, his law, his words. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and that his commandments, or his word, is not burdensome. Remember, his word is commandment. It's law. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So who's ever born, who's in the state of being born again, it's a position. Why? Because they have power to overcome the world. It says your faith. Faith means forever attached in the heavenlies. Forever attached in the heavenlies. Why? Because you are drawing your faith from the future, which is God's word. Does everybody get it? You're not drawing your faith from anything else. It's our faith that overcomes, forever attached in the heavenlies. What are you attached to? The future. God's word is from the future to the present. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes? What's the word believe mean? Follow that Jesus is the Son of God. Wow. We are living from the future on God's promises. That's called faith. Forever attached in the heavenlies. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There's no excuse for any of us. Amen? because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Did you always believe that there was a God? Or then you got no excuse. Nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things, and statues, and rosaries, and all these other foolish things that people pray to. People don't realize that when you got a rosary, that's an accursed item. Why? Because you pray to the dead, the saints. Why would somebody want to pray to another saint when you can pray directly to God? Amen? I see rosaries hanging on people's rearview mirrors and stuff like that. I thought, man, because they don't know the Lord. They may be saved, but they ain't born again. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. The wrath of God is here to dismantle the wealth of the system of Babylon right now and destroy the harlot of Babylon and her servants because they have been deceived themselves in the love of money. They are involved in inhumane acts and perversion. They're abducting children and doing things that are just not right before God. They're doing the most ungodly things that can happen. And this is the global fight. That's why the movie now that's been out, what's the name of it? I'm sorry? Sound of Freedom. Thank you. Went to go see a good movie, good flick. It's exposing the child abductions. People have no idea. Can you imagine over 300,000 children out of the United States are taken a year? Where are they taken to? Not camp. And they ain't taken to summer camp. They use them and torture them. They abuse them. And then they eat them. Because they're sick puppies. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. You not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicator or fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor transgenders, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelries, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Access denied. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but now you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. By the Spirit. I'm going to close at Mark 16. Mark 16, 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe or follow. In my name they will cast out demons. That's the first thing he talks about. Why? Because they're the hindrance. They're the ones that are coming against your eternal call. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. That's called speaking in tongues. That means you're not going to another college or learning another language. You got an eternal language with an eternal calling. Amen. With eternal power, you have an eternal tongue that speaks directly to God. Your mind doesn't get it, thank God. Because then the devil will know everything you're saying. Verse 18, what do you mean? Because the devil knows exactly what you're thinking. They will take up serpents. And they will drink anything deadly and will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Snap. These are promises of God. Why? Because these are individuals that are walking in an eternal call, a purpose and destiny. Signs and wonders will follow. You're the sign and wonder. Being born of the Spirit. Overcoming temptation. Amen. You're the sign and wonder. You're carrying the eternal presence of God. You're not getting sucked into the world. You're not a reactor. You're a responder to God's will. Even though there's a lot of nuclear reactors out there. Amen. Be careful of them. Don't pick up their corruption. Lord, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask you to protect every seed and restore the reality of our identity, of who we are, with an eternal calling, eternal purpose, eternal destiny. Prepare us for the things that are coming, and let us not sway or compromise or be complacent or lazy, but let us maintain with endurance, discipline, and death to self. For your glory, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.